Good morning. Thank you, Dan, for the music. Before I get started, I'd like to give greetings to everybody from Paul and Grace Kuto. Last weekend, I had the privilege of going to a meeting of the Christian Ophthalmology Society, and it was in Greenville, South Carolina. And in my running back and forth to different places, including we went up to Boone, North Carolina, to the headquarters of Samaritan's Purse to visit that. But in my coming and going, I managed to stop by the Kuto's house in Charlotte and got to chat with Grace a little bit. I missed Paul. He was still in Kenya. But they give you their greetings. Okay, just like to pray for a second. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to talk about your work among blind people in Africa. And thank you for your mercy and kindness. And let your words encourage our hearts and bring us joy and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, can we have the first slide? All right. I'm going to read. This is a passage of scripture that's familiar to you. It's a story of Jesus healing a blind man. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. The disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who formerly had seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. And he replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. So they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been born blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied. "I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "Well, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." And the man replied, "He's a prophet." They still did not believe he had been born blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it now that he can see?" "Well, we know he's our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind, but how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him, he's of age, he will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged Jesus as Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That's why his parents said, "He's of age, ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been born blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Can we go to the next slide? This is not the same man, but this is an example of someone who had been blind for some years, and then after modern-day healing, which involves an operation, he could see again. I wish I could put mud on somebody's eyes and make them see again. That would be so much easier. It would be quicker and easier, but in these days, in these eras, God's using other ways of healing people of their blindness. And can we go to the next slide? So I just want to share with you a little bit about how God is using medical care in Africa. And this is such a huge topic, it's hard to talk in just a very short time about a huge topic. So I'm mainly going to tell you some stories of some people, and mostly related to the work of Samaritan's Purse. Africa is a very large continent. It has 50-plus different countries, and many different cultures, many different languages. It's a very prosperous continent, very wealthy in many ways. Unfortunately, the wealth is not distributed to the people at the lowest economic status, and so there's lots of poverty, lots of problems. And many of you are familiar with Kenya, and South Sudan is on this graphic. It'll show that South Sudan is the neighbor just to the northwest of Kenya, and South Sudan has only been a country since 2011, so it's one of the newest countries in the world. But with a history of war and conflict and so on, it's also a very poor country. And then go to the next slide. If you lifted South Sudan out of Africa and you put it in the northeast of the U.S., it would look something like this. So it's not very large geographically, but it has about 10 million residents in that country. And it has one of the highest rates of blindness in the world because healthcare is not accessible to the majority of people. Okay, let's go to the next slide. This man is named Yinat, and when he went to the garden one day to gather sorghum, he did not expect such an ordinary day would deal him with such a dreadful incident. A spitting cobra was lurking among the plants that attacked and spit not once but twice into Yinat's eyes. That had been 20 years earlier, and he had not seen well ever since. Eventually he developed cataracts and could see very little, and that was only if the object was quite close to his eyes. He lived in a village in the northeast of South Sudan called Mamban County, and it was a 9-hour walk to the closest hospital. His nephew John had recently helped him make the trek there in order to meet the Samaritan's Purse team of volunteer surgeons. During that time the surgeons were there, they performed 237 cataract operations, and including Yinat, and he was delighted with the results of his operation. Afterwards he said, "I can see everything," pointing to the people around him that he couldn't see the day before. Poor vision had not been the only hardship pursuing him. Like most people in that area, he struggled to find food. He relied on John, his nephew, to provide meals since he'd been unable to work. And yet he had a large family of his own, and there just wasn't enough food in the area, he explained. "Sometimes we endure a week without enough food." Recent flooding in the region had made the food shortage even worse. "The flooding stole everything," his nephew said. Both Yinat and John's gardens were flooded, and so were their homes. But they're not giving up. And now that Yinat's vision is restored, they have more hope for the future than they've had in a long time. Okay, next slide. This is a woman named Chaka, and one of Chaka's favorite things to do is to cook, especially traditional food, such as ugali, which is like a porridge made from flour and corn, and chapati, which is kind of like an unleavened flatbread. But Chaka had not been able to cook since her vision had deteriorated several years ago. "I cannot see anything, nothing," she said. "It looks like smoke." So she couldn't collect the wood from the forest to sell as firewood, and without a job or income, she had to ask her family and neighbors for food. And relying on others is hard because she wants to provide for herself. She's strong, persevering through the darkest of times. Years ago, when the war began in Sudan, she fled to the northern part of the country with her two sons, who were age 1 and 3 at that time. War prevented her family from returning to Mabon for more than 20 years. Her resilience comes from her faith in God. She said, "I feel God is with me. Even if I'm alone, God is with me." Chaka and her son, Shala, were grateful for the team who came to South Sudan to restore her sight and give them a second chance at life. The amazing thing, the thing that amazes me the most is how God will take weak things of the world and things that are unimportant and give them opportunities to do things for him. Certainly, if I'm making a self-assessment of my situation, I look at myself and think, how could I ever, growing up in this town of boring Oregon, how would God ever choose some nobody like me? And yet, God makes opportunities and creates ways for people to serve him. And I know many of you have served him. And Michelle Thiessen could probably tell you lots of stories about South Sudan. So God is amazing how he uses people who just say, okay, yes, I'll go, God, if you make a way, and I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. Okay, let's go to the next person. This is a man named Dowdy, the person in the blue shirt in the middle, the one smiling. Dowdy had been trying to read the Bible as long as his eyes would let him, but eventually they would hurt and tears would blur his vision. "When I tried to read the Bible, I can't see well," he said. "And when the water starts coming down, I stop." His family reads to him, but Dowdy longs to read God's word himself, especially Luke and John, which are his favorite books of the Bible. And being unable to see also prevents him from farming his corn and his pumpkin and his sorghum. And like Enoch, the flooding had recently destroyed his land and home, as well as the church where he taught Sunday school. "We built a grass roof hut for our home, and our church is praying under a tree," he said. Dowdy only returned to his home last year after being displaced several years during the war. "It's difficult to leave your home and move to another place," he said. But for a little while, as the surgeons and nurses removed the eye patches the day after surgery and examined the patients, Dowdy seemed removed from all his troubles. He couldn't stop smiling and giving our team a thumbs up when he realized he could see again. Dowdy says he knows why his vision has been restored. "God is helping us," he said. Okay, next slide. I have two more stories of people. This is Awain. Awain Bach was a frail woman in her 90s, and she had been losing vision for 5 years. For the last 3 years, she had lived in total darkness. And she wasn't even strong enough to travel the distance to the hospital, and her family lacked the money to hire a car or a motorbike. Her situation was pretty bleak, and she desperately wanted to see again, but reaching the clinic seemed nearly impossible. And then her four grandchildren banded together. They accompanied her on the journey, taking turns, carrying her in their arms or piggyback style, along the dusty path. For 4 days, they progressed down the dirt road like this, committed to giving their grandmother a chance to once again look them in the eyes. And after less than 24 hours after she received cataract surgery, the eye patch was removed and she rejoiced at her new vision. Okay, next slide. And this is the last story here. This woman is named Bath, and she had lived in a village more than 5 days away by foot. And when she heard that the Samaritan's Purse team was offering cataract surgeries, she literally started running. The clinic was already underway, and she was willing to do anything within her power to see again. She traveled on foot as fast as she could, being led by her daughter, but the distance was too far. And the week-long clinic had already been completed by the time they reached the town. Still, Bath didn't give up hope. Rather than journeying home to her village, she and her daughter decided to stay in that same town, which was called Tonj. And she heard that Samaritan's Purse would return the next year, 2022, and she worried that her home was too far away to reach word in time next time. And she didn't want to risk missing her chance at eyesight again. So, after a year of hoping and praying and waiting, She was treated by the October 2022 team of Samaritan's Purse. Beth was one of the first patients in line. I was waiting patiently, she said, because I was waiting with hope that I would see again. The gift of eyesight completely changed her life, and she received that gift at that outreach. She broke into song and dance when her eye patch was removed. I was blind, and now I'm able to see, simply because the people of Jesus came with the love of Jesus and opened my eyes, Beth said. Her physical sight was restored, but more importantly, her spiritual eyes were also opened. During the recovery process, she heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for the first time, the words of God convicted her heart, and she made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as her Savior. As she began the five-day journey home, after nearly a year away, she promised that she would share her testimony with everyone she meets. She said that if her community doesn't believe her, she will say, "You don't have to believe me. If you need proof, the proof is that now I can see. I'm going to serve Jesus." Okay, the next slide. So one of my most favorite prayers in all of Scripture is the prayer of Hannah. Hannah, when she had been wanting a child but hadn't been able to have a child, and then finally she had Samuel born to her, part of her prayer said this: "The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap." This young woman in this picture had been blind from cataracts and had never seen her daughter. And after surgery, she was able to not only hold and nurture her daughter, but to also see her face. So the Lord is doing wonderful things in some parts of the world. Here, some of you have had cataract surgery. It's a routine thing. It's not part of an evangelistic effort. And it's very much expected that we'll see again after our operations here. But at least in some areas, like South Sudan, the Lord has been using medical outreach to build his church. And there's many, many, many more stories of what God is doing. And go to the next slide, please. There's a little bit of a clash of modern and ancient every time we go. And we have to use technology when we go. But at the same time, we're sensitive to local customs and local cultures. The outreaches that we use local pastors to give a gospel message. And that seems to be very, very effective. We're mainly providing support. And the last slide. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, God, the giver of sight, the giver of all of our abilities. Thank you for the way you've made us. Thank you that you've given us salvation through Jesus Christ. And thank you for doing work like this among people who need to hear about you. Thank you for the church that you raise up to participate in this. And we ask that you will bless Don and Mary as they're healing and give them strength this week. In Jesus' name, amen.